reading to you from the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and with the 14th verse. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. I'm telling you, friends, I thought I was going to be a roofing contractor all of my life. I love to roof. I know that sounds silly now. My knees tell me, say, that's what you did when you roofed. Well, I did. I sat on my knees all day long. Well, friends, winter's coming. We've had our 2 or 3 snows here now in Denver, and the mountains are beginning to get beautiful. Trees are all turning. But you know, there's spring, summer, and fall, and we got to have them. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax? Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and with the 7th verse. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Oh, friends, if there's ever a message needed tonight to the world, and that is what to do with life's cares. Does Jesus really, really care? Well, this great man, Joseph Parker, advised to preachers, preach often to those with troubled hearts. I've told you many years ago when I lost my sister, my mom, my dad by death, the same preacher preached that sermon, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." I was so troubled, I didn't like that verse of Scripture. Let not your heart be troubled, because my heart was not troubled, it was broken. And then after I found Jesus as Lord and Savior, then I began to understand what he was talking about a troubled heart. Well, today I'm taking Parker's advice. This is a familiar but a neglected text. See, some texts ignored because they are familiar. Of course, there's a reason. They are rich. Consider John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish but have everlasting life." Did you know he was talking to you when he said that? He was talking to me when he said that. "For God so loved you." So you say, "Well, Cecil, he may love me, but I still got a troubled heart." Well, don't hang up for a while. Listen a little while. Let's see what God says And John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Well, let's face it, friends, we are afraid sometimes. Let's listen to Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Friends, you must be saved before this scripture takes effect. Oh, friends, listen to me. You're sitting there tonight in your easy chair, and you're troubled, and you're worried, and you're worried about your health, and you're worried about your finances. And I say, "Well, what are you going to do?" Well, he said, God knows all these things, and he's working things out for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Beloved, you have a call on your life if you're born again. Don't you sit there and tell me, no, the preacher has the call, the deacon has the call, the Sunday school teacher has the call. Yes, they do. But so do you, if you are born again. This morning, my wife and I was discussing this at the breakfast table. And I said, you know the reason people don't go out and witness and win souls? She said, why? I said, well, first of all, because they're cowards, just like Cecil Moe is. We need holy boldness. Well, now, how do you get holy boldness? Well, I'll tell you, you get it by asking for it. If you want to be a witness for Jesus and you want to lead a soul to Christ, you must pray for holy boldness. Get a concordance and look up that word, holy boldness. You will find it all over the Old Testament and New Testament. We must not be afraid, because, you see, we're not doing this on our own. We're doing it because the Lord led us to do it. And, you know, now this text is for troubled believers. You are in this verse. They said that you... I just don't understand it. Casting all your care upon Him. You know, there's so much in this world is impersonal. The age of bigness and numbers and Social Security and insurance policies and credit cards and the national product code, scanners, computers. Well, they foreshadow the day when the Antichrist will assign every person a number and require it for anyone to buy and sell. But God still knows you as an individual. God doesn't keep track of His own by cosmic computers. He knows His own by name. And listen to John, let's see, where we are. John 10:3. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. God knows your name when you accept His Son, Jesus Christ. This is a story was told to me. Now, I'm sure it's true, but I've never been to the Holy Land. There's a lot of you people who have been blessed to get to go to the Holy Land. But anyway, they used to be a bunch of sheep, you know, and several herds and several different herders. Well, they'd make kind of a little makeshift corral, and they'd put all these sheep, four or five different flocks and different sheep herders. Now you say, well, how in the world did they do that when they got ready to go out to feed the next morning? Well, it's very simple. That shepherd would call his sheep, and his sheep would come out and follow him. That's why Jesus said that. The watchman opens a gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. See, God knows your name tonight. You have a special name. And, you know, when you got saved, He wrote your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and no man can take that away from you. No, they can't. Well, Zacchaeus, you know, he was hiding up a tree when he found that Jesus was coming to town. He was a little short dude like I am. And Luke 19, and when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. What? A crooked tax collector? But my friends, Jesus changed his life. You say, well, how do you know Jesus? Well, first of all, he was a tax collector, and he was hated by the Jews. He was dishonest. Oh, he was like some of our tax collectors in America, too. But anyway, he crawled up on that limb in that tree to see Jesus, and Jesus looked up and told him, come on down. You're coming to my house. How do I know that Jesus changed his life? Because he gave back many more dollars than he extracted from the people. That shows me that he had a change of heart. Well, listen, you remember the woman who touched the hem of his garment? Now, there was a troubled lady. Oh, my, yes. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I could only touch his cloak, I'll be healed. Well, Jesus turned and saw her, and take heart, daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed. You know, friend, you say, Cecil, you know, you're sick a lot. How come God don't heal you? Oh, my stars, in the morning, he's healed many times. When I was given up to die in Riverside, California, 54 years ago with a lung tumor, he healed that. You say, well, who'd you go to? Benny Hinn? Well, no, Benny Hinn wasn't born then, I'm glad. But you've got all kinds of healers on TV. Don't you know, and they throw their crutches in the air, and they throw their this and that. Jesus never did that. See, that's showmanship. That is nothing more or less, and it's a money grabber. Boy, oh boy. I'll tell you right now, if you want to make some money, you go in the healing business. But Jesus is the real healer. And I went to a doctor. I believe in doctors. However, my doctor, I love him. He's a Christian, but boy, howdy. Every time I go to him, he'll say, well, we got to put you on Prozac. I never took Prozac, but you got to put you on this, got to put you on that. And you know what? Drugs is not the answer. Drugs is not the answer to, oh, I suppose they may help once in a while. But my sugar diabetes, they put me on those crazy drugs, and my blood went crazy, and I was sick all the time. And I'm telling you, it's. But if you want to be healed, it has to be according to the will of God, though. I want you to know that. And it's not always God's will that people get healed, or no one would die. That's the way the Lord set it up. But he has the power to heal all diseases. I don't care. They say you have terminal cancer. I don't believe that. I've got a good pastor friend's wife, and she had... Oh, I guess it's now what they call it, something about four. But it's almost terminal when you get it, breast cancer. And she had an operation. And we all been praying for her. And she's doing, I took them out to lunch the other day, and they're still doing good. Because Jesus can heal, friends. So don't ever tell anyone he can't. Many times you go to a doctor and they say, well, you only got 3 or 4 months to live. And how do they know? But I'll tell you one thing. I talked to my sister on the phone. She was living in California, married to a doctor. And I called her, and I told her I wasn't going to be able to come down and see her this time, but I wanted to know I loved her and this and that. And she said, oh, she's doing real fine. I got in my van, my wife and I, we drove to Portland. I got to my nephew's place, and he said, Uncle Cece, said, you better call your sister. What about? Said she's... She wants to talk to you. I called her on the phone, and I said, Betty, what's the matter? She said, I've got 2 to 3 weeks to live. I said, what? Yes, she said, I do. And that's about how long she lived. She had the fastest cancer I've ever heard of in my life. But don't ever tell people that God can't heal. He healed that woman with a bloody issue. And remember in Matthew 19, I believe it was, he says, then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Jesus really is a defender of the weak. You know, I just love to go down into Skid Row, and we'll have 100 or 200 in the service, and I get up there and I tell them, I said, men, you know why I'm here tonight? Not because I'm special, not because I'm a great person, but I'm here to tell you that this wonderful Jesus delivered me from the curse of alcohol. Yes, and he even delivered me from the curse of tobacco. If you want to kill yourself, go ahead and smoke. You know what? I quit 55 years ago, smoking, and I'm on oxygen today, many, many years later. Now, I could get off oxygen, but you want to hear something that'll just blow your mind? EECP is a procedure that they give to people who have angina, pains in their heart, or they've had a heart attack. Or, because some of them are on oxygen. Anyway, I did 75 treatments. I got off oxygen, and I no more angina, heart pains, and I was doing real good. Well, anyway, not so terribly long ago, this doctor said, maybe you should go back and do ECP. Now, friends, let me tell you what. I went to this Jewish doctor down here, and I told him, and he said, no, I won't recommend the treatments for you. Why not? Because I won't. Do you know what they want for a one-hour treatment? $400. And they are, of course, our insurance don't pay for that. Well, now, they're keeping me from going down there because he won't recommend me. I'm trying to find a doctor that will recommend it because, you see what it does? It builds, I know this sounds crazy, it builds little blood vessels in your heart. And it really, see, air goes through these things and I can't explain it, but anyway, it really worked for me. In fact, the newspaper came out one day after I got done my treatments and wrote an article about it and put it in our Denver paper. It works, but see, these doctors, some of these doctors don't really want you to get well. You say that's not true. Oh, yes, it is true. Well, little children was coming to Jesus, and they said, the disciples, get away, go on, God don't have time for you. Oh, yes, he does. And except you become as a little child. Friends, it's something to humble yourself. You know, I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't know how to repent. I didn't know you had to ask the Lord to forgive you. I didn't know that. And I didn't know that he would forgive me if I called upon him. I didn't know for sure. But I found out he does. Tonight, I don't care what kind of a burden is on your heart, Jesus can lift that burden if you'll let him. If you'll come to him as a little child, humbling yourself. Remember when the publican and the sinner went in the temple to pray? Now, this old boy got up and said, well, I'm so glad I give a tithe of all I had. And he went on to explain to God exactly what he was. Arrogant. And then he looked over and saw this little old boy and he said, and I'm sure enough glad I'm not like that guy. But the little fella, he smote his breast, couldn't even look. He just looked down the floor and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now he become as a little child. He humbled himself. You say, Cecil, I don't have to humble myself. You do if you want to go to heaven. If you really want to go to heaven, you got to tell Jesus that you're sorry for your sins, because that's what he went to the cross for, to forgive your sins, shed his blood for you. Well, even the demon-possessed, remember what it said in the 17th chapter of John, Matthew, O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and the boy was healed immediately, not 4 or 5 days later. It's just like salvation, beloved. You say, well, how long does it take to get saved? I've heard people, well, it's progressive. It is not. When you tell Jesus you're sorry, and when you invite him into your heart and ask him to save you, it's an immediate transaction. Not a week's long, it's immediately. And he'll forgive your sins, and he'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. See, God has time for you. You say, I don't know. Yes, he does. Your cares are in this verse, casting all your care upon him. Well, what kind of cares? Well, cares about your family, your children, your wife, your husband, finances, future, job security, public opinion, business, incoming, depressions, debts, health of others, mental health, world conditions, war, nuclear destruction. Oh, these are things that we are concerned about. But every care that you're carrying is in this verse, casting all, not part, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And beloved, he truly cares for you tonight. Oh, yes, he does. Well, with cares removed, we can experience the joy of the Lord. Hey, listen to this in Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's right. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You remember the songwriter says, no one understands like Jesus. And there's another song, does Jesus care when my heart is pain? Oh, he cares. Who cares when my heart is weary? He cares. He waits to take all your cares tonight. Do you wonder if he cares? Then go to the cross. The one who cared enough to save us will care for all of our cares. Friends, I don't know what your problem is tonight. Honest, I don't. But I'm sure there's some tonight. You're concerned about your life, your finances. You know, everybody wants security. Sure we do. I would be the biggest liar in the world if I said, I'd like to have a few thousand dollars in the bank, but I've been operating without it, still going, because of Jesus. And he knows I care for him too. And how does he know? Because I'm out every day talking to people about Christ, witnessing, doing personal evangelism. Oh, I could tell you 1,000 stories. And I just thank God for these things that's happened in my life. Souls that I've had a privilege to introduce to Christ. Oh, I don't save nobody. Your church don't save anybody. Only Jesus saves. Oh, I want you to know that. You say, well, Cecil, I'm trying to live a good life. That's okay, but you can't get saved by living a good life. You must be born again. Well, you say, Cecil, listen. You have a good argument there. No, I don't have an argument. The book. I got the book here in front of me. This book tells you the truth. I might stretch things, but he'll tell you the gospel truth. And I'm preaching the gospel tonight. Jesus loves you. He went to the cross to die for your sins. He wants to save you tonight, dear friend. More than you want to be saved. You got a little tugging at your heart tonight. Just a little smidgen. Well, if you do, I want you to bow your head to me right now. But, oh, beloved, don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for my misspent life. Tonight, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to talk to you. My phone number is 303-471-8534. Oh, friends, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. That phone number is 303-471-8534. Now, if you can't afford to call, you call me collect. I'll accept the charge. And then I'll sit down and I'll send you some literature. It will help you to grow in the Lord. I'm waiting for your call, 303-471-8534.
And oh, the joy that flows.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, precious friends, for listening tonight. Oh, I pray that I said something, gave you a scripture that'll give you hope. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. I remember one time a woman called, was going to commit suicide. And she listened to my broadcast for the last time. And all of a sudden, during the invitation, I said, don't take that pill. Give your heart to Jesus. And that night she fell upon her knees and trusted Christ. Oh, I tell you, he's a wonderful, awesome God. Well, friends, keep praying for my wife and I. Pray for our health. Pray we'll be able to go to prison and take the gospel there. And so until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good, your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.